You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 7:06 and nice to have you along on this Wednesday morning, October 9th, 27 days till Election Day. The Secretary of Commerce, Gina Raimondo, is also a former governor of Rhode Island, has extensive business experience, and knows a thing or two about the difference between Kamala Harris's small business incentives and Donald Trump's plan for punishing tariffs. Reporter Elizabeth Montemurro caught up with Raimondo in her private capacity as a surrogate for the Harris campaign as she passed through Wisconsin recently, and so we'll hear more of what Gina Raimondo had to say about the campaign. We'll also talk to Principal Ben Dahlman of Eau Claire's Roosevelt Elementary and their PTA president, Paul Gierzak, about what PTAs do. Are they the same thing as PTOs, and how you can help their mission? And we'll hear from Todd Alba as well coming up. But first, of course, meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here. Brittany, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm pretty good. How about yourself?
We're good here. As always, there's always a little spillover from the last hour where we played Walter Murphy's A Fifth of Beethoven, a text from Michael in Tosa. Loved the song. I remember roller skating to it at our small town roller rink. Samesies, Michael. Roller skated to that all the time. Let's see. We've also got... where is it? Thomas the Tank Engine. Roger in Stevens Point is from when my kids were toddlers. What a VHS memory. Most of the videos I remember had Ringo as the voice. So, and I think, Tony from Ashland says, wants Greg to know that ever since you guys talked about Oasis, I've given them another chance and I've really enjoyed listening to them. You're making an impact one listener at a time. So there you go, Greg.
That's right. I'm changing lives, people. Changing lives, yep. On 90s pop rock.
He is an influencer. From Rob, good morning from Tigerton. It's clear and 33 degrees. I'm glad I turned the furnace on last night. Colors are really coming around in the Wittenberg and the Tigerton areas. He also says that his niece Jenny and her family did evacuate from Fort Riley, Florida, and they're with their nephew, Jeff, in Missouri. So glad that they got started there. Brittany, we have a huge hurricane that's about to barrel into Florida, which is so completely the opposite of the way things here could not be more quiet.
I know. The polar opposite. Exactly. This thing is a Category 5 right now, expected to make landfall as probably a Category 3. But one of the things I want to get across to at least Wisconsin and everybody else, too, is it doesn't matter what category it is anymore. That surge is going to be bad and is going to do devastation wherever it hits, from Tampa to Sarasota, because that eye is wobbling. And, of course, that heavy rainfall is going to produce some flooding. I mean, they've already been swiped by Helene. So we've got debris with those winds that is going to be flying around with everything, plus the saturated sand. If you think about sand, it turns into a block. After that, everything else is going to be flooded. So some flash flooding potential, plus some strong, severe thunderstorms with tornadoes. They're in a very enhanced risk right now for that as well. So a lot of things going on in Florida. I hope everyone is evacuated or in a shelter. But here for us, we're just a frosty morning, clear skies, temperatures slightly above average. We're going to hit about mid-60s to 70 degrees today. Absolute perfection. And then we actually get a bump in our temperatures because the jet stream has moved, because of Milton. So we're going to go into those low to mid-70s tomorrow, and we're going to spike to the mid-70s to 80 degrees on Friday before we fall to where we should be.
No, but still, I mean, so pleasant. And as Rob rightly notes on YouTube, I would take snowstorms over hurricanes any day. I mean, we do get our share of wicked weather, but nothing like that. I'm sure you saw the video clip of the meteorologist down there actually getting a little emotional, describing the storm. And he said, you know, what did it was seeing how quickly the pressure dropped in such a short time, indicating how quickly it had intensified and strengthened. And I'm not saying that it would, you know, make everybody weepy, Brittany, but when you heard that particular statistic, I mean, did it hit you just as hard? Like, was that a big whoa out of you too?
You know, hearing him get so emotional made me so emotional. For me, it was a whoa. I've never in my life could imagine that. You know, we've never seen that in textbooks. I mean, I think it's only happened five times where the pressure's gotten below 900. So it was just how fast, how strong, right after another major hurricane. All of this is a woe still, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and this is just, you know, before the storm actually comes. And so, again, we are happy that we've got listeners who've gotten friends and family out of there, and hope for the best. We'll follow what happens tonight when it makes landfall. Thank you, Brittany. Have a great day.
Thanks. You as well.
Talk to you a little bit later on. Let's see. Also wanted to let you know, you can get the Up North News daily newsletter. Sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. If you didn't catch Vice President Kamala Harris on Stephen Colbert last night, there's a link in the newsletter to it, including when they toasted with some Miller High Life, talking about favorite beers. Coming up on Earl Ingram's show right after this one on many civic media stations, Robert Miranda, the founder of Freshwater for Life, also talking about lead pipe removal and President Biden's visit to accelerate the removal of lead water service lines. And in the 9 a.m. hour today, he's talking to Robert Craig from Citizen Action. Coming up tonight from 6 to 8 on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, Patrick O'Donnell, a retired Milwaukee police officer, author, and founder of copsandwriters.com. They'll discuss cop movies, TV shows, and literature. That's on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe coming up at 6. Up North News reporter Elizabeth Montemurro is joining us now. Elizabeth, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well, Pat. How are you?
Very good, thanks. Elizabeth is in the Milwaukee area, and so sometimes we try to coordinate what all we're doing, what we're covering. Sometimes it doesn't work out that way, and this is a case where we both ended up talking to the same person, Gina Raimondo, who is the current U.S. Commerce Secretary, but she's now a surrogate for the Biden-Harris campaign on her own personal time, and she was in Wisconsin, and so it was kind of funny that they offer up for an interview over Zoom as I'm talking to her, and we just thought you were going to an event with the second gentleman, Doug Emhoff, right?
Correct. Is it Doug Emhoff at a small business here in Milwaukee?
And there's Gina Raimondo right there as well. So we both had a chance to talk to her, which is fine because, again, she's got extensive business experience. She is the former governor of Rhode Island. And so she feels like she's in a position to, you know, talk about these kinds of things and also what she thinks about, you know, Trump and small business. And you've got you've worked on a video story that kind of gets this contrast between what Trump says and what Gina Raimondo says.
That's right. Gina Raimondo, like you said, was appearing in her personal capacity and hitting the campaign trail to talk about Kamala Harris's small business plan. The day that she and Doug Emhoff were in Milwaukee last week was actually the kickoff to Small Business Leaders for Harris. And they were really celebrating and touting this new Harris proposal of a $50,000 tax credit for small businesses, as opposed to the current $5,000, which Doug Emhoff also said was just the concept of a business plan or a tax cut for businesses, in comparison to, you know, Trump's tariffs, which we've talked about before, is really just a tax on consumers.
Yeah, I liked how in your piece you basically read, and we've urged people to do this, just read Trump's words that he's speaking. And as you read them back in your video story, it's hard to really tell if he has a position on small business or if he just says the word tariffs enough times he thinks it makes a connection.
Exactly. You know, Trump was in town on Sunday again. And he said a lot of things. You know, I watched the whole 2-hour speech that he gave in Juneau, Wisconsin. But I watched it on 1.5 speed, but it was really hard to follow. But he did say the centerpiece of my plan for a manufacturing renaissance will be a 15% made in America corporate tax rate, cutting the business tax from 21 to 15. Okay. So I took it from 39 to 21 with the help of your great congressman over here, Troy. And that, of course, he's also referring to Troy Nels of Texas, who was born in Wisconsin, but is not a Wisconsin congressman, but just happened to be at the event.
Okay. So apart from, you know, figuring out, you know, what state that he's in, he's talking about a corporate tax cut that then, of course, the rest of us would have to make up the difference. And so then Gina Raimondo came up, and this is part of Elizabeth's story where she starts up by, you know, giving her opinion on what Trump thinks about small businesses.
I used to run a small business. Take it from me. Donald Trump doesn't care one bit about small businesses. He doesn't even have a plan for small businesses because he didn't care about small businesses. He is someone whose entire economic plan is to cut taxes on the rich, and he wants to put a tariff on all imports. Some people have said to me, like, what's a tariff? Explain why I should care about tariffs. A tariff's a tax. He wants to put a 20% tax on all imports. Can you afford a 20% tax on everything you buy? No. And he wakes up one day and decides who he's going to tariff. The other day, he said a 200% tariff on John Deere. Do you think that's going to put John Deere out of business? A great American company employing a lot of Americans, because he woke up one day and decided to take his anger out on that great American company. 400 economists came out 2 weeks ago to endorse Kamala's plan, and they said Trump's plan will put us into recession. Guys, we just can't afford it.
So that was a kind of a digest of her remarks in Milwaukee. Elizabeth, other impressions from her remarks or the folks in the crowd that you talked to that day?
Everyone just seemed really excited. You know, the people in the crowd were small business workers and small business owners and entrepreneurs in the area. And they just felt that it was time, you know, get a little relief.
Looking for a little change and a different approach other than just corporate tax cuts. Yeah, no, that sounds good. Elizabeth's going to stick around for a couple of extra minutes here while we're up against a break, and we'll talk more about Gina Raimondo and her visit to Wisconsin and talk more about the plans by Vice President Kamala Harris for small business, but not just for small business, but also for housing. It's not the kind of thing that you typically hear in a presidential campaign, but you probably should, because there is such an affordable housing crisis in this country. So we'll hear what Gina Raimondo had to say about that as well in just a moment. But first, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this beautiful Wednesday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. If you missed it earlier, Jackson Brown has a birthday today. You can catch all of our birthdays in today's history lesson, 6:50 every weekday morning here on Up North News Radio. We've been talking about business and economic proposals from Vice President Kamala Harris versus former President Donald Trump, and how they were explained by Gina Raimondo, the U.S. Commerce Secretary, who is now campaigning in a personal capacity on behalf of the Harris-Walz ticket. And Up North News reporter Elizabeth Montemaro spoke with Gina Raimondo about this and other things during her recent Wisconsin appearance. And so, Elizabeth, you were at this small business event. Like you said, there were small business owners there and others. And before the break, I was asking you more about your impressions of what people had to say and far as what they heard from Gina Raimondo and from Second Gentleman Doug Emhoff.
Yeah, I think the other thing that I was really reminded by during the event was something that Ugo, the owner of Diamond Discs International, said in his opening remarks, welcoming everyone to his business, as well as the other visitors, was that He's also very appreciative that not only has the Biden-Harris administration invested in small businesses and helped put the economy back on track, but that they've intentionally done so by making sure that a diverse set of businesses have resources. And so we've seen that in Milwaukee, right, with the intentional contracting of lead pipe removal to Black and minority-owned businesses. And Ugo's business is one, I think, that is also seeing that lift from the diverse contracting.
Right. It was something that President Biden talked about yesterday during his Milwaukee visit, in that, yes, by making sure that you are taking care of, you know, minority and women-owned businesses, what you also end up getting quite frequently is that the work is getting done in previously underserved areas. And so, again, you get an economic benefit that, you know, you get that rising tide lifts all boats, not just the yachts, you know, in the very limited pool. But let's, I want to get to the housing part of it, because, again, this is something that's not very typical, in that you have the vice president saying, yes, we should talk from a federal government standpoint about housing. There is a shortage of affordable housing. And so part of what she wants to do is provide incentives to build 3 million new homes over the next 4 years. And Gina Raimondo, for her part, when I asked her about that, about the housing end of it, she said she salutes the vice president for looking into housing.
Look, I think it shows the kind of person and leader that Kamala Harris is. Most presidents wouldn't touch housing because, as you said, it's thought to be a local issue. I used to be the governor of my state of Rhode Island. We dealt with housing a lot. The reality is one of the reasons housing prices are so high is because we don't have enough houses. Like, it's a supply and demand problem. And so we need to build more houses, which will ultimately bring the cost down for both renters and homeowners. And I admire her so much for saying, you know, I know historically it's a local issue, but Americans are struggling and I want to do something about it. And that, once again, I think that's the kind of president she will be. If there's a problem, she's going to look for a practical solution to try to solve the problem in a way that helps the American people.
Right. And so in doing so, she's trying to look ahead toward a potential Harris-Walz administration. But I'm sure, as she spoke with me, I'm sure she mentioned to you as well, Elizabeth, that while she's there in her personal capacity, she is the current U.S. Commerce Secretary for the Biden administration. And as far as she's concerned and President Biden are concerned, I mean, they have done all that was expected of them and more in terms of taming inflation and trying to take the economy to a so-called soft landing. You can definitely tell she's proud of the accomplishments of the past 4 years, acknowledging that there's still work to be done, but, you know, definitely proud of what's taken place up to this point.
In fact, I've heard some say it's been a feather bed landing.
I'm sorry, Elizabeth, go ahead. Then I'm going to play the cut from Gina.
All good. I was just going to say exactly right.
Okay, well, let's listen to what Gina Raimondo had to say about the past 4 years.
In fact, I've heard some say it's been a feather bed landing, which I agree with. If you think back to where we were, our economy was 4 years ago, it was sky high inflation, sky high unemployment. And for the past 4 years, we've steadily seeing inflation coming down, wages going up, manufacturing is at an all-time high, and the lowest unemployment rate we've seen in decades. So, you know, it's still true that there's more work to be done on inflation, especially grocery prices. And that's why Vice President Harris has a plan to bring down food prices at grocery stores. But the truth of the matter is, under her leadership and President Biden's leadership, this economy is strong and stable, and not very few people thought at the beginning of their administration that we'd be able to achieve a soft landing. And because of their leadership, we have.
Yeah, I mean that is always the tightrope that they're walking, is that, yeah, there's still a problem with high prices. There's also still a problem with price gouging and so many other things. But that can't negate the fact that we have the strongest economy in the world because of the way the economy was managed here to get to that soft landing. And so what I was saying before I accidentally stepped on you there was that I'm sure in her remarks in Milwaukee, she expressed, you know, pride about that as well.
She did. You know, I'm going to start using that, I think, a feather bed landing.
Yeah, but, yeah.
That's nicely put.
Well, I mean, it's that, or I've heard it called, a Goldilocks landing. Again, it doesn't mean that everything goes back to where it was in 2019, because economies, there's always going to be shifts and things. But in terms of what you want to do to not trigger another recession or a round of deflation, soft landing, yeah, feather bed landing, I don't see why you wouldn't go forward with that. Elizabeth Montemurro has such great explainer video pieces on issues about the campaign. Look forward on all of the Up North News social media platforms, TikTok and more. Elizabeth, great to talk to you. Have a great day.
Thanks, Pat. You too.
All right. Now, when we come back, we're going to shift to this week's homeroom segment and talk about PTAs, PTOs, and the work that they do to support public education. And we've got a couple of folks from Roosevelt Elementary in Eau Claire who are going to explain that for us next. This is Up North News Radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, if you are interested in finding out who's running this fall to represent you in the Wisconsin Assembly and the Wisconsin State Senate, maybe you're curious to know, what district do you live in under these new maps? There are a couple of different ways to go about doing that. First off, Civic Media has a new Wisconsin Legislative Voter Guide. Head over to civicmedia.us. You'll find it, a link right there on the homepage, or put in civicmedia.us/voter guide. But also over at Up North News, we take care of having a voting guide as well. So go ahead and look all over the place and learn more about things like how to register to vote, how to vote absentee, and much more. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com and just click voting guide up in the top banner, and check out our full coverage through the website of individual races. I know I just put up a story about Jody Habesh-Sinikin, who's running for state senate against Republican Dewey Strobel. And incidentally, Jody Habesh-Sinikin will be our guest 24 hours from now on our Women Win Wisconsin segment powered by Motherhood for Good. And, of course, the gold standard for your internet surfing for all things election-related, head to myvote.wi.gov. That's the website put up by the Wisconsin Elections Commission to give you everything that you need to know. And you can do stuff right through there, like potentially register to vote, find out what's on your ballot, and find out who is your local election clerk. Because 2 weeks from yesterday, so 13 days from now, early in-person absentee voting is going to begin at your local clerk's office. So find out what you need to know and get your vote cast early. Beat the rush on November 5th. Head over to myvote.wi.gov for more about that. All right, let's get to today's homeroom segment and find out more about parent-teacher organizations, parent-teacher associations, you know, PTAs, PTOs, and the things that parents and community members can do to help out your neighborhood school. We have spoken previously with Ben Dahlman, president of Roosevelt Elementary in Eau Claire, and we are joined as well by Paul Gerchek, who is the president of the PTA. Right, Paul?
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, good morning, Ben. How are you?
Great, thank you.
Yeah, nice to have you both here. This all started with, as we talk about our weekly homeroom segments and what can we say about education, and I believe it was our reporter Selena Heller telling us about the work that you all do at the PTA, but that we'd also seen, you know, references to PTOs and wondered, is there like a big difference? Is it like, you know, the Crips and the Bloods? Is there a rumble, you know, something like out of the movie Anchorman, well, you know, with an anchor fight? Ben, the difference isn't really that big, right?
No, it is not. No. I was at DeLong Middle School, where we had a PTO. At Roosevelt, we've had a PTA. No, I would say they're a lot more similar than they are different, for sure.
And how would you, then I'll go to Paul next, but talk about, you know, what PTAs do by and large for schools.
Yeah, I think PTAs and PTOs, they do a lot of things for schools. There are so many behind the scenes things that just wouldn't happen without the support of the community and family members as well. And so that starts with our PTA organization, and that branches out to other families that maybe aren't PTA officers, but then they still want to get involved as well. And I would say that's true of PTAs and PTOs, which has been super helpful for a school.
Sure. Paul, let's get your interpretation on PTAs and their core mission.
Yeah. In a nutshell, if I were to talk about what our PTA does, you know, our job is really to supplement the school's core curriculum by enhancing our students' experience and supporting the teachers and the staff. So on a local level, at our school level, what we're really trying to do is bring that student experience to the next level by providing funding for the school that supports field trips, school supplies, holiday events, our year-end carnival, track meets, supplies for teachers, and books for kids' birthdays, just to name a few.
And all of these things, where you're raising funds to enhance the educational experience, that would be happening whatever the political environment, right? Because I talk a lot on this program about, you know, state support of schools versus all the referendums and all that are out there. And, you know, Ben, you and I have spoken, this is a very challenging time fiscally for public schools in Wisconsin, but whatever the environment, we would still have PTAs and PTOs working to do the things that Paul just outlined, right?
Certainly. Yeah, certainly. Yep.
Paul, you kind of feel the same way, you'd be doing this. Does the political and the fiscal environment, you know, affect volunteerism one way or the other?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it affects volunteerism, but I would say that as a parent, so maybe I'll kind of step aside as PTA president, but maybe as a parent, what I've noticed is in these funding environments, we've dug a bit deeper to help support, you know, our school in our school district because of the funding challenges they've had at the local level, right? So we just installed 3 phases of a playground and outdoor pride project, which replaced some playground equipment that was failing, added new playground equipment, and added some picnic tables that didn't exist for kids to learn and eat outside. We did that because there wasn't funding through our school district to do that separately, although we were supported through a few grants along the way. We find that we've had to we could lean into Ben's budget here and there, but his budget might not be as robust this year as it has been in the past, and as such, we've just fundraised to make up that difference. Yeah.
Sure, Ben, can you comment to that as well?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, there's a lot of things you really don't think about. Like for instance, just last year we started after school clubs at elementary, which has been great. It's been a great program for our kids, and it's been really positive. But with that, we do have some families that can afford to send snacks with their kids for after school. We have some families that cannot. And so that doesn't really fall into the realm of like free and reduced lunch because it's an after school activity, but it's still a need that's there. And our PTA like picks that up. Our PTA picks up so many other things too. There's a lot of experiences that our kids, quite frankly, would never have if it weren't for like the additional field trip that our PTA is able to provide, where like this is that one opportunity for some of our kids to actually go and experience some things that maybe they would not experience on their own. And so just those are things that, is it needed? You could argue it's not, but is it necessary for like really teaching the whole child and providing experiences for kids to experience just a very enlightening and motivating world around them. and all those little supports too. Like those are, those little supports end up being really big to a lot of families for us too.
It strikes me that this might also be a reminder that school budgets overall, from kind of a general standpoint, are I would imagine, been more diverse than maybe we understand, because we talk so much about the state aid. Mm-hmm. We talk so much about, you know, there's supplemental aid as well. We talk so much about what comes from the local property taxpayers. But I think Paul referenced grants, and you know, I'm guessing there are other lines in your budget where, you know, you can have this diverse range of revenue sources that, you know, ebb and flow depending on time and conditions.
Yeah, certainly, and there are certain, you know, restrictions too. There's different budget lines that can only be for one specific purpose, and so with that, like we try our best to kind of cover everything as we can. But it certainly does help enhance a school having a strong supportive parent group as well, because there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things that come up.
Yeah. Paul, I'm looking at the specifically, there's a Facebook page for the Roosevelt PTA, and I want to get into some of the fun things that you do. You know, there's a Culver's night there. Where Roosevelt got 10% of sales, you know, on a particular evening. I'm seeing posts for a Roosevelt walkathon that was going on. There looks to be a costume dance for Halloween. Tell us more about some of the fun things that you do that turn out to be both for the school and or opportunities to raise funds.
Yeah, thank you for the question. So we're trying to, over the last several years, sort of rethink the way that our local PTA has been operating. So we've come up with new and exciting ideas to fundraise. A lot of our fundraising had gotten stale over the years. And when we started our playground project 3 years ago, we fired all the vendors that weren't producing fundraising results for us or taking too much of a percentage of our fundraising goals. We came up with new and exciting ideas to help supplement that fundraising by doing things like a walkathon or Culver's night, or selling flowers, or selling wreaths, things that people really got excited about and really drove that fundraising. And then in that fundraising, not only were we be able to install our playground, but we're able to bring back school dances, pay for shirts, pay for the after-school supplies that Ben mentioned. And when, you know, anywhere between 35 to 40% of our students live below the poverty line, it's important to remember that this is, you know, maybe the after-school snack that some of our children are getting. This is the field trip or the event that they're experiencing that year, or maybe one of the few shirts that they own. And so, yes, it's really fun and it's super exciting, and that's really the goal. But it's also trying to meet the needs of all students in our little school for all the various needs that they have.
Really basic question here. PTAs, PTOs, you know, parent-teacher associations and organizations, is activity limited to just those who are parents of kids in that particular school versus other members of the community? Ben?
No, fun fact, anyone can be part of our PTA. You know, a loving adult that's a part of our children's life, parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, whoever that might be. In fact, that's probably one thing I might leave this audience with is get involved at your local school. People are usually really happy to give. Businesses are usually very happy to support, and that's really awesome. It's the people that can show up and help run the walkathon or monitor the school dance, because those bounce houses can get kind of rowdy, that are really the important boots on the ground that we could really use.
Yeah, that's Paul Gerchek. He's the president of the Roosevelt Elementary PTA, and Ben Dahlman is the principal. And so, Ben, to you as well, we hear all about parental involvement and parents' rights, and they show up at school board meetings, you know, and they say they feel isolated, when frankly the case is there's ample opportunity for any community member to learn about their schools and support their community schools.
Yeah, certainly. We also have a really strong mentorship program, which has been just great for our kids. And it's a lot of community members, people that live just around here, some people retired, some people younger. But some of those people are like some of the most important people that child sees within a day or within a week. So there is definitely opportunity to get involved, you know, and I would encourage anyone, if looking to get involved, just contact a school, because there's always something to be super helpful with it. Yeah.
Oh, there's no, clearly I've now scrolled back far enough on the Facebook page. You guys had a spaghetti feed back in April. I mean, anything that where the kids can make a mess, you know, is a net positive. I would imagine, unless of course you're on the cleanup crew, but you know, you pass those clipboards around, Paul, I'm sure. And you know, people sign up for setup and tear down and everything else.
Yeah.
We always have a 50-50 raffle. What I love about our spaghetti feed is it's one of our biggest fundraisers that we have a year. You would kind of imagine that most of that attendance would come out of our school, but that really ends up becoming a community event. We have people just from the neighborhood and the local churches, people who saw it in the paper, and it ends up being this really big, exciting event that reminds you that our community is so much bigger and so much more connected than you ever imagined it is on your day-to-day lives. It's a really amazing event.
It's
just a great show of community support for education and for the kids. And look, if you're troubled at all by the oftentimes divisive political environment that's out there and you need some refuge, go to your local school and be supportive there and find that people from all stripes can come together to support the kids. Ben Dahlman, Roosevelt Elementary principal, and Paul Gerchek from the PTA. Guys, thank you very, very much for the explanation of the organizations and your core mission, and we wish you all the best. Keep us updated.
Thank you, Beth.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a great day. And when we come back, we're going to be talking to Todd Alba of the conveniently named Todd Alba Show to find out what he's been covering. He's been a busy fellow, what with the president visiting Wisconsin during his show yesterday and all of his remote broadcasts. Does the man ever just sit at home, you know, on his couch and take it easy? Wait a minute. There he is, sitting there taking it easy on his couch at home. So we'll ask him how he's finally liking being home next. You're up north. One more for John Lennon on what would have been his 84th birthday. There is a new video podcast series being put out by Up North News' parent company, Courier Newsroom. You'll find it on the Courier Newsroom YouTube page. It's called Closing Strong. Tara McGowan and Simon Rosenberg are joined by Democratic strategists, elected officials, reporters, advocates in a video series in this final weeks before the election. Stay in touch with some of the latest developments at Closing Strong. Head over to Courier HQ on YouTube to find the page and learn more. The Todd Father joins us now, as Tony likes to refer to him on YouTube. That would be Todd Alba of the Todd Alba Show, coming up noon again today. Did in fact you get President Biden's remarks on your show yesterday? I know you guys were looking to cross paths, maybe not personally, but you know, logistically.
Here's what we got on the show from Joe Biden yesterday. That SOB Bibi Netanyahu, he's a bad effing guy.
No, I don't think you got that. Yeah, I don't. That's an excerpt, one of many from Bob Woodward's new book about behind the scenes stuff there, where we learned just how much more of a stooge Donald Trump is to Vladimir Putin. And if that sounds harsh, too bad. At a time when COVID test kits were like, you know, as rare as they come, Trump sends a bunch of them to Putin personally, according to Woodward's book. That's just the butt kissing is just nauseous.
That's the serious part of it. Yeah, yep. And I think Twiggy is going to talk about that a little bit on today's show as someone who is banned from Russia by Putin personally and the seriousness of that. But the fun part of Bob Woodward's book, and Pat, I think you could attest to this. I mean, I was never really around you when you were a legislator. But the funny part is the politicians, state and federal, they go on the stump and they're all, you know, kosher and well-spoken and well-dressed, and then you get in a caucus behind closed doors and it's F-bomb and SOB, and this is the way people talk, and it's just great to see a little Irish temper in this book talking about how Joe Biden kind of, you know, runs the office, and I find it enormously entertaining.
I do appreciate that. I mean, we've always known that Joe had it in him. So yes, that part I do enjoy. It would be like
he's human. He's human.
Yes, it would be like doing a reboot of West Wing, but doing it for cable. so that you could have real talk in there. That's something 100%. That I would like to see.
But yes, Biden was we got I don't know 10 minutes or maybe 15 of the entire speech and talking about $700 some odd million being delivered to Wisconsin through the Infrastructure Act now law to replace lead pipes, not just in Milwaukee but all over the state. So I know Greg, you and Jane talked to Earl Ingram about that, and Earl's going to be talking about Mr. Miranda with Mr. Miranda on his show today coming up at 8 o'clock, and the significance and the importance to Milwaukee and Wisconsin families replacing lead pipes.
Yep, exactly. All right, now let's get to the really important stuff. And that would be, where are we going to watch Brewer baseball next year?
Because thank you for asking, Pat Cartlow. I happen to have my 1982 middle school Brewer hard hat.
Ooh, look at you, little Cecil Cooper down here on the screen. That's great.
Yeah, this is actually a vintage 1982. Because I've been, you know, just a bit outside in theaters now. You know, Claire especially through the end of the week. Rhinelander also has it as well. But yeah, Bailey Sports, however you pronounce it, they're out. Major League Baseball says, look, we haven't gotten enough of the cut, so we're going to come in and take even more revenue in order to bring you the games.
Well, and we'll figure that out. So TBD, as far as will they work out a deal with a cable channel or, you know, a satellite channel or a streaming service like Apple or Prime Video.
How about Courier News Service, Greg Bach and Pat Kreitlow do Brewer games next
year?
Done.
I'm sure I could find a way to pony up for sports rights for something like that. I get the impression that from one of the stories here that, you know, they've got the domains, you know, like Brewers.tv and, you know, Padres.tv and all that. So I'm sure that there'll be a streaming option that way. Whether it'll be through an app or what is obviously remains to be seen. I'm just saying that as a cable customer, and my plan is to be one for some time to come. I'm one of those that hasn't cut the cord, and I just hope there is a cable option, because if it goes to all streaming or something like that, then yeah, I'm going to have to consider, you know, reconfiguring the whole thing, because I like having a baseball game on in the evenings. It's something that I enjoy, and I think a lot of other people do too.
From the little I read yesterday, other places, I think Cleveland did this last year. They're, you're kind of right, Pat. You're actually very right. It's kind of up to the local markets to decide what they're going to do. I think Major League Baseball's goal is to make this as accessible as possible to as many people as possible. So it wouldn't surprise me that there's both a streaming and, whether they end up going with Spectrum or whoever, there will be a cable option at some point or someplace. But yeah, it's kind of a mess. We'll see how it gets done.
They just need to remember Wisconsin, you know, skews older. We have a lot of older fans here, and they're not going to follow you to a streaming thing. So don't be embracing the future and leaving behind, I don't know, a huge chunk of your audience. So
in your neck of the woods of Western and Northwest Wisconsin, the Twins, Major League Baseball is also going to do the Twins now, and that bleeds over into that television market. So I don't know. We'll see.
Oh, and the whole market thing, just, you know, because then that leads to blackouts. Tony puts on YouTube, no more blackouts. And Tony couldn't agree more. Thank you very much. Todd will cover more of the news of the day coming up at noon today. And I'll join you off the top if you're okay with that.
Always okay with that. I've got the mimosas brewing right now, so I'll get through a couple. And I'll
Did you say you got the mimosas brewing?
Yeah, I'll be loaded.
I didn't know that's how it worked. All right. Very good. All right.
Take care, Patrick. Have a nice day.
Take your bottle of Di Serono now. All right. Greg Bach is back in 2 hours for Matt and Air on Air.
Yes, indeed.
All right. And thanks to all of you for being part of Up North News Radio for this Wednesday morning. Again, Jody Habersynikin in one of the closely watched races for state legislature is our guest tomorrow. Have a great Wednesday. See you tomorrow morning. Up North.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.